What happens to markets when so many of its participants try to grab the last gasp of summer? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After a soft stretch for stock markets recently, there was a bounce upward for a few days this week. Let's check in with Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas, who urges us to widen our perspective here. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So, after a little bit of a droopy stretch, a couple of stronger days on the stock market today, not so much. What do you make of this?
This is a month where a lot of people take vacation, and this week and next week in particular are the final 2 weeks of summer for many, so the market activity is really low. Day-to-day movement here isn't going to be a true picture of what's going on because there just aren't that many participants.
And you know where some are on semi-vacation is Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the Grand Tetons, where central bankers and academics, economic policymakers are gathered for this conference. Expecting news there?
Janet Yellen is going to be speaking Friday morning, and Mario Draghi, representing the European Bank, will be speaking Friday afternoon. The Fed has done such a good job telegraphing their intent and how they're feeling about interest rates, their balance sheet, the economy, that really the markets feel like they have a pretty good sense of where Janet Yellen is and her position on things. So this isn't going to be an opportunity for her to change anything. Instead, this is going to be an unusual year where Jackson Hole is steady as she goes, a lot of economists getting together and exchanging views.
All right. Well, if there's a lurid headline that comes out of that conference, I will call you because things could change moment to moment there. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
You go to get 5 manila envelopes, but they sell you a pack of 100 for $25. You would think Staples would be raking in the profits. Tomorrow, we'll get the latest quarterly results. Staples was bought last June by an investment firm known for turning around troubled companies. The thought is to spin off Staples retail and focus on corporate sales, Marketplace's Aaron Schrenk reports.
Staples has already announced 70 stores will close this year. Now it's reportedly looking to longtime rival Office Depot to take over its remaining brick-and-mortar operations. In a space increasingly squeezed by online competitors like Amazon, Costco, and Walmart, a merger might be the ideal exit. But regulators rejected that move just last year, saying combining the giants would be anti-competitive.
It reflected a very poor government understanding of what's actually happening in the industry these days.
Craig Johnson runs retail consulting firm Customer Growth Partners.
The market share that Staples, Office Depot would command has been shrinking.
And it's hard to see why Office Depot would want to acquire more stores as shoppers continue migrating online, says analyst Joe Feldman at Telsey Advisory Group.
You'd have to deal with the leases and disposing of a lot of the stores, and it'd be a pretty messy integration, I think.
If the sale did go through, Staples will still need to battle Amazon and other online competitors growing business-to-business delivery. I'm Aaron Schrenk for Marketplace.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting that some big mutual funds are marking down the value of their investments in the car service Uber. Vanguard and Hartford are among those who now say their Uber shares are worth about 15% less, given the ongoing management problems at Uber. This is a teachable moment about mutual funds. While Uber is a privately held company and there's no publicly traded stock, mutual funds can still hold the private shares, but they have to guess what those shares are worth. The word library implies collection of books, right? Well, nowadays, some libraries lend out all kinds of stuff. Need a spatula? Maybe a sitar? Reporter Daniel Gross went to check out his local library of things.
Glenn Ferdman directs Somerville Public Library in Massachusetts. And a couple years ago, he decided he owned too many guitars. So he told his staff to lend out his guitars as if they were books.
And what we discovered was, to our delight, is those items started flying off the shelf.
Soon, donations added a ukulele, an African hand drum, even a telescope. Ferdman says the project is part of a trend.
Libraries have, in recent years, become places not only where you can passively absorb information, but places where you actively engage in and create stuff.
Ferdman thinks libraries of things are a low-tech alternative to high-tech hobbies. The American Library Association recently found similar projects in more than a dozen states. Arun Sundarajan, an economist at NYU, says your local library is also part of the sharing economy.
People go there to get access without ownership.
Sundarajan says libraries could help reduce inequality. A guitar costs hundreds of dollars, but a library card is free, and it gives you access to community.
It's almost like the library is really the gathering place of people with shared interests.
One library in East Boston has even become a distribution point for packets of vegetable seeds for gardening.
I have a lot of basil. This is borage. And I have a lot of tomatillo seeds.
Librarian Jazz Idikar stores the seed packets inside some wooden drawers, which used to house a library card catalog. But libraries don't use card catalogs anymore. This is the age of the internet, after all. In East Boston, I'm Daniel Gross for Marketplace.
You know what my neighborhood needs? A tool library. Yes, Lowe's or Home Depot will rent you a big old floor sander, but what about the one time you need that thing to cut a 2 1/8-inch diameter hole for a doorknob, right? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.